Our scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament book of 1 Peter. I'll be reading 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Christ has died. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ will come again. And that, dear brothers and sisters, is good news, with a capital G and with a capital N. How is the death of Jesus good news? Well, through the suffering and death on the cross, Jesus defeated sin for all time. But what is sin? It's a loaded word today. Sin is often used as a loaded weapon on other people. Sin is when we cannot agree on what we see in our world. Even when we might see the same problems, we cannot agree on how to solve those problems. Sin is when we waste all our energies on trying to prevent people from attempting a solution we do not agree with. And nothing gets done. The end result? People are dehumanized. We forget that all people are made in the image of God and are worthy of our love and respect. People are dehumanized, and the most vulnerable in our midst suffer and die. We forget that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We believe we can own and use the earth as we see fit. We no longer interact with the earth as stewards. Instead, we act as cruel taskmasters, trying to wrest what we want from creation around us. Life of all types perish because of greed, because of indifference, because of hate, because of violence. Because we want to be proved right, proved smart. Hey, it's my way or the highway. Even if it costs us our life, our very soul. That is sin, and it always leads to death. That sin is what Jesus' nonviolent suffering and death defeated. And Jesus suffered and died in obedience to God's will, the will of the Father in heaven. Jesus gave up his way and any other way to embrace God's will. And when Jesus yielded to God's will, even though he died, God granted him resurrection. Embracing God's will always leads to life. Always. Because of Jesus, we are offered everlasting and eternal life. Jesus opened the way to reconciliation with God and with all of creation through his death and resurrection. That's the great mercy and living hope that Peter writes about in this passage from 1 Peter. The fact that Jesus died on the cross and was raised on the third day is not an optional belief for Christians. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential, pivotal, foundational. Without Jesus' death and resurrection, we are still dead in our sins. The Apostle Paul writes that very thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. Because if all there is in this old world is what we can experience through our five senses, then woe is us. If all there is in this old world what can be proved through the scientific method, then woe is us. Our faith, the Christian faith, is built upon truths we cannot see or empirically prove. I stand before you today testifying that I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus died on a cross, that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, and that Jesus will come again. Even though I have not seen Jesus with my eyes, I believe. And as Peter writes in today's passage, I have an inexpressible joy. That's good news, with a capital G and a capital N. Christ has died. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ will come again. As Elwood P. Dowd says to Mrs. Chumley in Mary Chase's play Harvey, that's an interesting little news item, and you could feel perfectly free to pass it around. Christ has died. Christ has risen from the dead. Christ will come again. Many of you already know that I will be portraying Elwood P. Dowd in Mary Chase's play, Harvey, this coming weekend at Family Community Theater. As I've learned my role, and as I've scoured the script, I see some parallels between the faith of Elwood and the faith of a Christian. For those of you who don't know, Elwood has a friend, Harvey, who happens to be a 6-foot-tall white rabbit that few other people actually can see. In the play, psychiatrist Dr. Sanderson tells Elwood that it stands to reason that nobody has ever seen a white rabbit 6 feet high. After looking at Harvey, Elwood smiles and says, "Not very often, doctor." If you see a 6-foot white rabbit, you're crazy. Some people may say the same about those who believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, who nobody living has ever seen. Just as Harvey is never seen on the stage, except in an artistic depiction. Oh, and there are many artistic depictions of Jesus, too. Yes, some people will say I'm crazy for believing in Jesus' death and resurrection, but it doesn't make it any less true. I believe that there are some similarities between Harvey the Pooka and Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not one for one. It never could be. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is unique. But there are some similarities. Try this similarity on for size. When Elwood is explaining to Miss Kelly what it is that he and Harvey do, he talks about listening to people in bars. Elwood says, "They talk to us. They tell us about all the big, terrible things they have done, the big, wonderful things they will do, their joys, their regrets, their loves, their hates, all of them very large, because nobody ever brings anything small into a bar. And then I introduce them to Harvey. And Harvey is bigger and grander than anything they offer me." Just as the world has nothing on Harvey, the world has nothing on Jesus. Jesus is bigger and grander than any of our worries, fears, or perceived obstacles. Jesus will take care of us if we choose to bring him our problems. And Christ has an effect on us if we choose to follow him daily. Harvey also has an effect on the way Elwood interacts with other people, regardless of their employment or station in life. Elwood is cordial and friendly to all people he comes across. He invites everyone into relationship. In the course of the play, he invites all kinds of people into a relationship. We got a telemarketer, a bar owner, a bartender, bar flies, a grain elevator foreman, psychiatrist, a nurse, an orderly, a judge, and a taxi cab driver. In fact, it's one of those things that his sister Vita disdains. When Vita speaks to Dr. Sanderson about Elwood, she complains, "Well, don't you call it excess when a man never lets a day go by without stepping into one of those cheap taverns, sitting around with riffraff and people you've never heard of, inviting them to the house, playing cards with them, giving them food and money?" Well, who else was considered a glutton and drunkard? Who else was accused of fraternizing with the riffraff of society? Jesus was. Jesus recognizes the worth and dignity of everyone, because everyone is made in the image of God. Like Vita, you and I often only see people as they are. Oftentimes, we cannot get past outward appearances and actions. Jesus calls us to see the potential in people, not who they are, but who they can become. Yes, Elwood is kind to everybody. He seeks to build up the self-esteem of everyone. Elwood would call it being pleasant. He even was pleasant to people who threatened him with physical harm, like Mr. Dwayne Wilson, the orderly at the sanitarium. And Elwood did not even bear any ill will to his sister Vita when Dr. Chumley told him that she was trying to commit him into a mental hospital and take over his estate. Well, Dr. Chumley asked Elwood where his righteous indignation is. I like Elwood's response. Elwood tells Dr. Chumley, "My mother used to say to me, 'In this world, Elwood,'" my mother always called me Elwood, she'd say, "In this world, Elwood, you must be oh so smart or oh so pleasant." For years, I was smart. I recommend pleasant. You may quote me. Imagine that. Instead of insisting on being smart or right or my way or the highway, I could choose to be pleasant with people, even when I disagree with them. That's profoundly pleasant. Remember, people may forget what you say or what you do, but people rarely forget how you make them feel. Too much in this old world makes us feel sullied, degraded, demeaned. I can't help but think of what Brooke just said with the kids, with that bottle. I think many of us have felt like that bottle on some days. Thank you, Brooke, for that. That was very powerful. Imagine what this world would be like if more and more people seek to be pleasant. That more people would choose to build other people up rather than tear them down. I believe that Harvey called Elwood to be profoundly pleasant, just as Christ calls us to be profoundly pleasant. See the potential in everyone. See Jesus in the disguise of the people we meet on the street. In the play Harvey, Elwood's life revolved around Harvey. His first instinct was to introduce everyone he met to Harvey. What an example for us. Do our lives revolve around Jesus? Is our first instinct to introduce everyone we meet to Jesus? To share the good news? To pass around that interesting little news item? If we choose to make Jesus central to our lives in tangible ways, we must be ready to face rejection and suffering. It's this kind of rejection and suffering that Peter refers to in this passage, suffering for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Some people may reject Jesus, just as they reject Harvey in the play. Because initially, Vita rejects Harvey. As Elwood says, Vita doesn't seem to care for Harvey. But that rejection never kept Elwood from trying again and again. Elwood also spoke of the rejection that he receives in the bars. Remember that quote I said earlier about Harvey being bigger and grander than anything else people offered him? Well, I will continue that quote now. When they leave impressed. The same people seldom come back, but that's envy, my dear. There's a little bit of envy, even in the best of us. Too bad, isn't it? Some people may not come back to us when we share the good news about Jesus. It might be because of envy or jealousy. It might be because they think we're crazy. Either way, it amounts to the same thing, rejection. And rejection for many people is simply suffering. So I ask you to take an interest in people. Be profoundly pleasant. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Christ has died, Christ has risen from the dead, and Christ will come again. Relationships are restored, death is defeated, eternal life is ours for the taking through Jesus. Even when we simply suffer in this old world for our belief, Jesus has paid it all. He agreed to take the whole thing. Like Dr. Chumley in the play Harvey, we may balk at paying the bill we've accrued. We may expect someone else to pay, like Elwood did for Dr. Chumley, agreeing to take the whole thing, the whole tab, like Jesus has done for us. Jesus agreed to take the whole thing because he didn't want any trouble. Be profoundly pleasant, simply suffering. Amen.